Moto Randos, Moto Randos, here we come. Moto Randos,
welcome to the Border Outdoors Podcast. I'm Mac.
I'm Corey.
We'll just get right into it. We'll talk a little bit about duck opener. Corey has one up me. He is leading 1-0. He's been out duck hunting.
Yeah, not much to brag about there. I knew I really wanted to get out. I had a buddy, Nick, invite me out to his place, but I really want to get some hours in on the dog. You know, like I want her to have some retrieves, you know, and I want to get her some more action. So I was kind of trying to focus more on that. So I hunted a pond, kind of over by where my relative, well, actually I parked at my relative's place and I walked all my gear over. So, I had scouted a couple places. There was a couple over closer to my house that I really wanted to go that I thought actually might be a little bit better. And I actually had to call Seth because...
Just tilt that thing down. Yeah, right there.
I actually had to call Seth because we used to hunt Schmidt Lake. And
down the road.
Yep, we knew somebody that lived on the lake. And it was always like this big thing. Like, well, you know, they were a Schmidt. And like, well, you technically can't access it. And then... through a bunch of research, like you can.
It's right on the side of the road.
Right. But there is a maximum distance you can go as far as a body. You know, like you can't walk 300 yards off a road to get to a pond, right? Like you have a right of way, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah.
But there is distancing. And it used to be, they used to give like more specifics. Like it needs to be this many feet, or we found a really old regulation that said it's like so many canoe lengths. Or yeah, just like something really wonky. So anyways, I was like, hey, I'm looking through the new regulations. You know, I'm looking up right away. I'm looking up lots of things and I can't find anything definitive. And so I call him. I was like, what do you think? And I reference that. And he's like, I think if you're within the public right away, you're fine. So, you know, it depends on county road. You know, look up your local jurisdiction. But, you know, most of them are, you know, 8 to 20 feet. So he's like, yeah, if it's within that, I would say you're good. So that's kind of what I went with, and then I ultimately decided not to go out there, but I thought that would have been a little bit better. So I go to this pond, and I thought I got a late start because, typical me, like I think I have everything packed, and in the morning of, I'm just like throwing, oh, I forgot this, oh, I forgot that. Well, then I ended up forgetting my dog's collar. I'm driving out there, and I'm like 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, I forgot her collar, damn. Like, well, I'm not turning back now. Like, I just...
Oh, you went without it.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I guess I'll just figure it out, you know. Historically, she is... she's good with upland, right? She's got a ton of energy. She can just run around. So when we duck hunt, usually it's like, it's so hard to get her just to sit still for 3 hours. She always wants to go check stuff out, but I'm always hunting with someone. This is the second time her and I have ever been solo. First time was when she was a pup. And she did great, honestly. Like, she just laid down most of the time. There was some action. There was some shooting. She was losing her mind hearing the people down from me shooting. Yeah, she just whining, like waiting for something to drop. And then we had some grebes, a couple different groups of grebes come and land in the spread. And she's looking at me and just howling. I'm like, I can't shoot them. Like, I'm sorry. But she thinks like, well, we should be able to kill them ducks. So, yeah, I was hunting the east side. Wind was out of the southeast. So I'm like, hey, it should be a pretty decent spot. And I scouted ducks out there before. And if I'd have been quicker on the trigger, I could have had a couple, like two different groups of ducks, but just was not fast
just
enough.
Didn't see them?
They came from behind me. And by the time they came up and over and they were heading towards the middle of the pond, I had no, you know, no chance. One did kind of come over in the front of me and I thought about it, didn't. And then a group of geese, four geese came over and I'm not a caller. Seth will probably attest to that, but I just gave a couple little quick ones, you know, just super simple. And if I had to guess, I would say like 50, 60 yards. Most guys, like, oh, I would have shot him. I wouldn't have shot him. I had my finger on the safety, touched the safety off, and I was looking up out of the corner of my eye. And then I was about ready to pull up, just like, you know what? They're straight overhead. If I shoot one, it's going to fall. It'll fall into the water. It'd be a good retrieve. And just as I was going to do that, again, like I'm not showing my face or anything, but then they kind of turned like they were going to circle around. I'm like, oh, wait, let them work for whatever. I mean, I only had about a dozen decoys setting out. I had half a dozen teal, half a dozen woodies, and they turned and then they turned again. So they made like a zigzag pattern.
Yeah.
And of course, then they were gone because I was like, oh, maybe they're going to work. Why would they work? Like, what an idiot. I don't have any goose decoys out. I wasn't calling to them or anything. But yeah, so they left. I probably could have maybe killed one, but I hesitated. So anyways, didn't end up shooting any ducks. It was fun to see the other ducks. And I've actually never brought binoculars with me before. And for whatever reason, I just have this really small, cheap Bushnell. I think they're like $50. I was like, you know, I'm going to bring these with. I'm really going to try to identify some ducks if I see them. I can't believe I've never brought them with before, ever. Like, sure, sometimes you don't have the opportunity to like, oh, let me put some glass on these ducks coming in. But it was honestly really pretty cool.
How far out could you see?
A good 100 yards. Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, like, it was difficult to identify, you know, like, if a woody would have landed out there or a mallard, it would have been a little different. But, like, when the grebe first landed, I was like, I can't tell, is that a short bill? And, you know, like, I was just kind of having a hard time. So it was really, really nice to be able to have that and just get closer eyes on some of the ducks and whatnot, you know. So
did you see some flying? Were you able to identify, like, the ones out flying?
So the ones that I think came in were woodies, just kind of by
house. No, with the binoculars.
No. It was too early. Like, the first half hour, pretty typical, was chaos. You could hear everybody around me shooting. And then, again, the group straight to the west of me, they got a decent amount of shooting in, but they were hunting around a point. It's probably like 150, 200 yards away from me. And so then the boat access was a lot closer to them. The boat axis was like a little over 100 yards from me. Looked that up on my Onyx app because I kind of had to try to figure it out. But I watched them walk back in, and I didn't see them walking in with any ducks. So either they were shooting grebes or they're terrible shots.
Did you end up going down here?
No, I went over to west of here.
West.
Yeah. So it was still a lot of fun. You should
have went to the old Seth, where he always goes opener.
Yeah, I thought about
his grandparents' lake.
So I did. So that's actually closer for me to go there.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, and I'd been working on my so I've had this duck boat for 5 years, and I got it as a gift for free. And don't get me wrong, when I got it, I knew it had been, you know, rode hard and thrown away wet. And he's like, yeah, you know, like, you can obviously tell it might have had a leak or two, but I think we got them all fixed. Well, then life happened, and I got the first year I had it, I got all the motors running and I was going through everything. And then I pulled the lower unit and lower unit shot.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, now I got to wait. And then I never actually got the thing open or out on the water. And then this year I'm like, that's it. If I'm going to go by myself, I'm going to get this boat going. And I had pre-drilled a few of the holes because like the rivets were like worn through. Drilled them out. My wife was out there with me on Tuesday and Wednesday evening, and I got the air hammer underneath, just trying to fix all these rivets. And then I got it all done, and I put water in it, and I found one new leak. And I was like, I'm going to bring it into work. I'm going to weld it up quick, and I'll be good. And so I pulled it around the next day, and I was like, all right, I'm going to fill it full of water one more time, check for leaks. I fill it full of water, I got more leaks. And I fix those leaks. I check it again. And I got more leaks, new leaks, ones I hadn't even seen. I'm like, what? And now I was like, that's it. I got this thing for free. It's not doing me any favors. I'm scrapping it. So I'm gonna turn it in for scrap. I want to find just a cheap boat since I got a trailer and a motor. And yeah, that's gonna kind of be my go to, I guess now.
How big of a motor?
I got what is it? It's a 9.9 Johnson, and then I got an old. It's an old Seahorse. Is it a 4-horse or a 5-horse? It's like that sea foam green, yeah. And it's an old Magneto.
Is that where you have to spin it around?
Yeah, for you reverse? Spin it around to go in reverse, and you got to adjust the Magneto. It's like almost 180-degree throw on it.
And then is the gas tank on top?
It is on top, yeah. Dude, you should try it. And it's like a 40-to-1 fuel ratio.
Try that with my final attack.
Yeah?
Because it's got a thing on the back. We did trolling motors.
Yeah. I got the new coils sitting there. It's all sitting on my bench. Like, I was ready to get into it, and I haven't yet.
And my duck boat, the Final Attack, everyone, you can look them up. It's a layout boat.
Sure.
So it's got the blind with it for stubbling.
So when I first looked into getting the lower unit fixed, I called a couple places around, coincidentally, a few places around Annandale. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, that's actually, we don't service motors that old, but there's this guy, I want to say it's up by Deer River, I wrote it down somewhere, I can't find it in my notes, but and they gave me the number, so I called him, And it's essentially just like an antique, not even antique, just older motor, call it a boneyard. And so I called, and he's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, give me your serial number. I'll look it up. Calls me back the next day. Yeah, we got two lower units. Essentially, you bring your old one in for a core, and I'll give you a new one for like $125.
Why do they want the core?
Because then he can rebuild it. So, he could use, like, the main case and a couple of the parts. I'm like, well, you know, this rod's bad. And all these, you know, the water pump's bad. He's like, yeah, there's still good parts in it, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, I got to try to find that guy again so I can put a lower unit on and get that bad boy running, too. So I got two motors. I just need a boat. Cheap. I'm cheap.
You can try that one. You won't be able to put the big, I mean, my brother, they have put 9.9s on it before. Mm-hmm.
I've seen it once.
It's at Mitch's house now.
I feel like putting a 9.9 on there is
just don't
it, right.
It's all
yeah. Don't open filled. The throttle yeah. up on it.
Like we yeah. You, there's definitely ways. Otherwise, Mitch built like a he got a Predator motor from Arbor Freight. Mm-hmm. And he bought the kit to make a mud motor surface oh, cool. drive. So then he put that on there. I have a video of it. I'll show you that.
Sure.
He boogies pretty good on it.
I bet.
And it's got like wheels on the back and like there's enough room. You're small where you can put you and your dog in there.
Yep.
And then it's got like little grooves on the front so that you can pull yourself up. Like I can stand on the front and jump oh, and wow. the boat doesn't.
Sure.
Like,
so I currently have a 14 footer. It's like a 1950 something. I still have the title for the thing. Like it's old. And,
anyone out there looking to donate a duck boat?
Yeah, seriously, hit me up. You know, a couple. I found a few for a few $100. Actually, there's one on Marketplace in Buffalo for $300, and the kid like spray painted it all up. Like you can see it like shining in the sunlight. It's not like it's all dented and yeah. looking like hell. And I was like, that's like, for $300.
And you got a trailer.
I got a trailer. It's only a 12 footer, which for me and the dog is plenty of room.
But if you want to take Easton out eventually, or
you know, a 14 footer would just be better. But then, so I stopped on the way home today with Easton and looked. There was like, it must have been like at least a 16. And he wanted a ton of money for it. Honestly, he wanted like $1,000 for this older boat. And I was like, no motor, just boat and trailer. And I was like, it's like a 16. It's more of a fishing boat. And I was like, $1,000? I don't know about that. Like, maybe I'm crazy, but that just seems like a lot.
Well, with the trailer, did you say I just need the boat? How much? I'll give you, say, $500 for the
too
boat.
Many guys aren't going to piece that out, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, usually guys are looking for a trailer, not looking for a boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyways. Yeah, that's kind of what I want to do. But, yeah, I plan on going out this weekend. I'm talking to another buddy about going out. Don't quite know where I'm going to go yet. It's Wednesday now, so haven't done a ton of research on any other local areas, but I'm going to throw something together and I'm going to get out bird hunting.
Well, with the rain that we had this last weekend, there's a lot.
Yeah.
You got a lot of options now.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of flooded, somewhat cornfields where they did silage and shit like that.
Yeah, there's actually a field on my way home that's had geese in it pretty frequently, and I'd love to go out and lay out there. I just got to knock on the door. So I'm definitely going to try to get back out again. So can't wait to do some more.
Yeah, I remember them days. They were fun.
Yeah.
The stressful part, though, was trying to find a spot to go.
Right.
Before, back then, Pelican, they didn't.
Right.
That was full water. They didn't drain it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a for sure thing. Even the 100 people out there,
yep.
Didn't matter. You could still find somewhere to go.
The best year hunting is the year I shot that big buck. Nick and I went out diver hunting out there.
Oh, yeah.
And we went from that southeastern part of the lake, and then we were going to head out to the main body of water, and you kind of go through like this neck down. It's not a channel. I'll just call it a channel. Like you kind of go through this narrows, and then it opens up to the big body. And we wanted to basically go in the middle of the south side of the lake. And we go there. We must have got flashed by four or five other groups. We got there out there early, too. It was like we were on the water spotting at like four. Yeah. And there's, of course, there's guys out there, right? And so we thought, well, with the winds going, like, you know, we got to get out there early. And of course, there's people in spots. We're like, we just basically keep working our way back. And then we basically set up on the corner of the narrows. And we're like, well, geez, I guess we got this, you know, shit spot. Hopefully we shoot some ducks. I'm not joking. We shot more than anybody else around us. You know, because like you could see headlamps in the morning. I think I'd have to look back. I think we got a one-man limit a diver. We missed so many.
Dude, that's
like, but it was so much fun. Like,
yeah.
It just the way the wind was coming through that channel, it was perfect. perfect win. Like, I can't remember if it switched or what, but it was like one of the best hunts I've ever had.
The one thing I miss about duck hunting is going out there early with the brothers. But like they had it down to a system. I mm-hmm. can't even take credit. Like, they put the clips and we spray painted decoys. And Mitch had like an old, it was like a 65 Lund, and he had that 60 horse Mercury on the back, and the whole thing was gutted. Sure. The whole front was full of decoys. And then we'd throw an anchor out, and then we had lines with zip ties every, I can't remember how far. So Matt would do the line, and I'd hand him the hook, and he'd clip it on, flip it over. And we'd do three or four lines, and then we'd do like a little pot of mallards. And we, canvasbacks are so stupid. Like, it was.
Never shot one. Can't speak to
that. It was two canvasbacks the one year. And we, every time we go out there, we'd shoot canvasbacks and bluebills. Like, we did so good freaking diver hunting out there.
It seems like a young man's sport around here, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
It seems like as soon as they get into their 30s. But, like, I can remember, like, hunting with Seth's brother, Austin. Like, we were busting ice going out there. Hands were cold.
Oh,
and
fuck yeah.
Diver hunting. But it was so much fun.
We went diver hunting on a lake behind my brother's house. And it was him and his buddy, Jake, and I. And we're setting up. And this is before we did the lines and we didn't paint all the decoys. We'd had goose floaters, and we did the J pattern.
Oh, yeah.
So we set up all the fucking goose decoys, and then he dropped us off in the cattails, and he's going to go take a run at it. He's going to drive up on the cattails, lift the motor, and slide in, so we were covered a little more. So he's got, I think it was a 15-horse Johnson on the back of a 14-foot John boat, and he's, and he comes up to it. Well, he didn't hit the right trim or whatever, because it's manual.
Yeah.
Hit some cattails and the boat fucking stops.
No.
And he just goes, pew. He flies to the front of the boat. And I look at Jake and we're both like trying not to laugh. And we're waiting to see what Mitch was going to do. And next thing you know, he just goes, well, that fucking hurt. And he just like his whole like stance and everything, holding on to the motor. He just stopped and he just kept the whole stance all the way to the front. Oh my God. It's a story I'll never forget. And then that day it was super cold. I think it was in November.
Sure.
And then trying to roll up all them decoys by hand. I thought I had frostbite on my
hands. Probably didn't have any neoprene gloves. So just
I did, but the problem with the neoprene gloves is they got cold. They're wet on the inside, and your hands, you can't warm them up. Yeah,
it doesn't do anything at that point.
So you're literally holding on to the goose decoy, and then you're trying to do it with your
just a
palm,
stiff,
in between. Yeah. And you're trying to get it, and you're just like, just throw them in here. Oh, so fucking cold.
Yeah. It can be, it's sort of like bow hunting, and then it's a lot of work, but it can just be so much fun.
It's fun.
I thought about going up to the in-laws, and actually I'd asked Seth if he wanted to go, and then he ended up not being able to go. I was like, I'm not just going to drive all the way up there, you know, just me kind of a thing. And then last minute, my in-laws went to the cabin. I was like, you know what? Let me know if there's any duck hunters on it, because all summer.
Are they by a lake?
They're right on a lake.
Okay.
And all summer, I'll see ducks out there. And I've hunted it once, and I saw a lot of ducks. I went up there. Basically, I had to go pick up my ice house when I had it. I was like, you know what? I got to pick up my ice house anyways. I'm just going to go duck hunting. So I got up there the night before, went duck hunting. And I was like, the wind's not going to be right, but whatever. I'm already up here. So I went and sat. And, of course, I saw lots and lots of ducks, but the wind, nothing was even remotely close to me. And I was like, well, just so I told her, I was like, well, let me know if there's anybody up there, because I'm sure I'm not shooting anything now. So there's going to be, you know, ducks everywhere. And so I texted her. She's like, oh, like there's a few up here, but, you know, nothing crazy. We just been seeing them fly. And then I think it was like Sunday morning. She's like, well, if you would have come up here hunting, you'd have had some company. And there was two guys just walking the shoreline because the water's so low up there year. Yeah, like it's 4 feet low on their lake.
Shit.
So they're just like walking through cattails, like going to the next spot. So probably should have went up there, but should have, would have, could have, I guess. So
yeah, I remember the one of the best, like I went up to North Dakota with my brothers. That was really fun. But like one of the best duck hunts I did was we went to the river on opener, and there's like three different guys we stopped and we're floating, and then we stopped and found this spot. And I can't remember if Mitch bought a new gun or if it was his old one. And I had the 870, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, like, we're on this turn, and there's a bunch of oak trees, and we're on this big hill, and this freaking woodies just start coming in. just like crazy. And so then like he goes, he's like, ready to shoot. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And he goes to pull up and I boom, boom, click, click. His gun jammed or broke and like he couldn't use it.
Sure.
So then like every volley we'd switch off. And after that, we got pretty good at it. We're picking up decoys or picking up ducks. And then one flies over and then we're just boom, just scattered. And then the river bring it to you.
Sure.
But we limit it out and fuck no time. That was the first time I've ever had like an opener where we limited out like in 10 minutes.
That's my love hate relationship with waterfall. Cause I have a lot of fun with it. I'm willing to put the work in, you know, like being a bow hunter, I'm not afraid of it, but if you're like Seth and you tag out early, great, go duck hunting, but they always overlap. And really good duck hunting is usually overlaps really good bow hunting. And I hate that.
So, that's where I hate. I love fall. Mm-hmm. Like it's my favorite season, but I hate how short it is. Like it's 80 degrees this next weekend. And what happens in the fall? Deer hunting happens. Yeah. Waterfall happens. And the best walleye fishing of the year all happens in 1 month. Because you know the second weekend in November, it's going to be 30, 40 degrees.
Yeah.
It'll be too cold and there might be ice on ponds.
Emily, I might have mentioned it before. Like, Emily's always like, you don't want to make any plans for fall. I was like, listen here. You basically get the month of October, right? Like, sure, duck hunting starts early, bow hunting starts early, but essentially, October is when everything happens. Ducks are flying, geese are flying, grouse are out. You can pheasant hunt.
I forgot about grouse.
The middle of October, you know. And I like doing all of it. I'm such a like, ooh, shiny red ball kind of a person that I want to hunt as many things as I can. And you basically get, let's just say 2 months, late September through October into early November. I realize you can go into December and all that, but essentially you get 2 months to try to pack everything in.
Yeah, like the middle of October. Well, besides duck hunting, but like the middle of October till Thanksgiving.
Right.
That's like your big month of when everything is super good.
Right.
Like the new ducks come down from Canada. That's when the deer start rutting. That's when it starts to get cold enough for the walleye start biting. That's when grouse and pheasant and all that. You have 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. That's it.
I wish I could just pick one. I wish I could just pick bow hunting, or I wish I could, like, I really enjoy. I grew up upland
it's
hunting.
It's not easy to do.
No. And, you know, Western hunting is apparently scratching the big itch for me because, now I want to do that. I'm like, yeah, you know, perfect, Corey. You don't have enough time for anything else. Let's throw Western hunting in there, too. Perfect. So,
yeah, it's a love-hate relationship, but everything is super fun. Like,
but that, like, that's, you guys give me shit, but that's why I picked bird hunting this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just want to try to do more. I've had a fair amount of luck bow hunting, not a ton, but like I'm pretty satisfied where I've gotten so far. I'm not done with it, but I just feel like I haven't, now that I have a bird dog, I haven't given the attention I should. So I want to get out there more. I really should have tried to book a pheasant trip, but
if you weren't going out in Montana, you'd be different.
Oh, absolutely.
Or to Wyoming. If you weren't going out west hunting, because now you're going to have 7 days of you'd have been bow hunting.
Right. Well, actually, I probably would have tried to plan a trip down south. I probably would have hooked the camper up and like, all right, I'm taking the dog and we're going to be gone for, you know, I'm going to take a Thursday, Friday off. And we're going to go down south or go somewhere and go bird hunting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was just going to say something. I completely forgot. Oh, no.
That's why I can't wait for him to get older, because like it's honestly a great excuse. One, obviously I want to spend the time in the outdoors with him, but two, like if we have a second kid, but like, oh, well, him and I are going.
Yeah.
See ya.
Hopefully it's a girl since you got your buddy and she's got her little buddy.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, I'll take him. You don't have anything else to worry about. We're going to go hunting.
Yep.
I can't wait for it.
No, that's what I was going to say is, I wish I could duck hunt more, but at the time when I switched, I couldn't do it financially because it was so expensive.
Right.
And I didn't even buy like all the decoys. It was just, I didn't, number one, as everyone knows, I don't like getting up at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Yeah, I was up at 4 a.m. Yeah.
And like, I hated doing that. And then like going somewhere and trying to figure out where we're going to go. We had some really good spots with like a buddy I had and all that. So like we had pretty much go-to spots every weekend and we did really well.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, it's just like, by the time you buy shells, and then you stop at a gas station, and you got to buy something to eat, and then like it's just constant. And then you're always tired, and you don't get anything done. And it's just, it was fun, like morning duck opener morning, when you're sitting there and it's right before shooting, and you're like all set up, drinking coffee or Mountain Dew or whatever, and you can hear the wings flying over you, and you can just pick them out. That's the best.
See, and the part of the reason that, you know, I'd mentioned that, you know, I love bow hunting evenings, but my wife the last couple of years, she's like, you know, it's nice when you go bird hunting because you usually go in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, especially duck hunting. She's like, and then you're home by noon. So like, I just got to wake because up with them,
the kid, they
turn some
get up,
Saturday though. Morning cartoons on with them, and I just don't have to do much. She's like, it's the evenings when he's running around like a madman that it's annoying.
And so, then bath time, then trying to get himself down to bed, and then all of a sudden, oh, here comes dad. So now he's all excited. And
so it was a trade off. I'm like, well, you like it better. I'm still hunting. I want to do more with the dog.
Yeah.
I just saw it as an opportunity. Like, well, fine, then see ya. I'm going to go bird hunting.
Yeah. Well, do you have anything else you want to say? Otherwise, we can make this a nice little short episode.
Yeah, that's about it. I'm all jacked up. I want to go out and kill some kill some birds this year, whether it's ducks, grouse, pheasants. I'm going to kill some birds this year. Hopefully. I say that, and I'll probably eat
I've never gone. Oh, I have gone grouse hunting. I've only done, like, I've gone pheasant hunting twice. Not, like, half-ass, I would kind of say. And then
grouse hunting and pheasant hunting are both kind of half-assed.
There's stories behind the grouse hunting with my brothers, and if we have them on, they'll have to tell the stories about it, because that's not the way I saw it. They're two different point of views.
Sure.
They're flushing birds to me, and I was walking on a trail, and they're wondering what the fuck's going on. And then I shot a woodcock, or no, then I did shoot a grouse, and then it was flapping around, and then they're like, so then what do? I duck hunt. So I grabbed by the head, and I start spinning it, and then the head fucking fell off, and it's...
Yeah, doesn't take much to wring a neck on a grouse.
Then I shot a woodcock, and I'm just staring at it. And Mitch is like, "What is it?" And it's a woodcock. We'll pick it up. And I'm just like staring at it, like, "What the fuck is that thing?" But no, there's a lot of more funny stories. But well, we'll just end it there. And with the Border Outdoors Podcast, I'm Mac.
I'm Corey.
We'll talk to you guys later.